please, turn to the Gospel of John, chapter number 3, once again this morning. John, chapter number 3, going to continue a thought that we've been looking at for the last couple of weeks, and want to continue that again today. We use these verses in the Gospel of John to launch forth the thought that we've been looking at the last couple of weeks. And I want to continue to look at these great verses. I believe it's some of the greatest verses. Now, all the Bible's good, all of the Bible's great, all of it's the Word of God. And I'm thankful for that. But I believe before us this morning is the greatest text in all the Bible, John chapter number 3. You know the history here within the story. Of course, Jesus and Nicodemus, and of course the great verse of John 3:16, it would enough gospel there in that one verse to save the whole world, if the whole world would listen and heed to this particular verse of Scripture. But this morning, again, we're going to read these couple of verses, maybe down through verse 18 today, and give you a thought that the Lord's placed upon our heart for the service this morning. I pray that we'll be attentive, and I pray that we'll be receptive to what God has for each of us here this morning, especially if you're here today and you've never truly been born again, as Jesus told Nicodemus. He said, "Ye must be born again." And so I pray that if you're not, that today that you will be, you can be. That's the reason Jesus came, was to seek and to save that which was lost. But the Gospel of John, chapter number 3, verse number 16 this morning. If you found your place in the precious Word of God, say amen. All right, I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. If you're able to stand out of the reverence of the reading of the Word of God, if you're not able to stand, then certainly that's okay this morning. John chapter number 3. If you've been in church any while, any length at all, this is very familiar to you. I don't have anything new. We've preached from these verses. Matter of fact, I believe I ought to preach for them at least once a year. Amen? What great verses of Scripture we have before us this morning. John chapter number 3, verse number 16. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world." As I've said many times, you can just put your name right there. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish." Here's the thought we've been looking at for the last few weeks, "but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." May the Lord add his richest blessings to the reading of the precious Word of God. Let us pray. Father, we bow in your presence once again today, Lord, to thank you for another beautiful day on this side of eternity. Father, to thank you this morning for your love and your grace and your mercy. Thank you for the forgiveness of sin. Thank you for these great verses this morning, for the Word of God itself, and Lord, how it speaks to our heart, and Lord, how it helps us, Lord, Father, this day, and Lord, each and every day, Lord, we just thank you for the living Word of God. Lord, we thank you again for the privilege to be here this morning. We thank you for those that have gathered in on this Sunday morning. Lord, I thank you for each and every one, and I just pray that, Lord, that you'd help us now, that we'd yield ourselves to you, to your Word, and to the working of the Holy Spirit this morning. Thank you for the Sunday school hour, the teaching of the Word of God. Thank you for the beautiful singing. And then again this morning for this precious text that, Lord, we've tried to read in the hearing of the people here this morning. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God will help us to search our hearts today. Lord, if there happen to be some here today, Lord, it's never truly been born again, I pray this morning through the preaching of your Word, that God, this morning you would convict and draw. Lord, I realize without the drawing power of God that, Lord, individuals cannot be saved and will not be saved. So I pray that, God, you'd work among us this morning. If there's some here cold and indifferent, Lord, I pray for them as well. God, you might draw them. And, Lord, just whatever the need is here today, encouragement, strength, and challenge from your Word, I pray that, God, you'd speak to all of our hearts and help us. I pray now as your servant. God, this morning you'd anoint me with fresh oil. God, I pray you guard my mind and my mouth. I not say anything that would be contrary, Father, to your Word this morning, but I preach the very message you've laid upon my heart. And I pray the Holy Spirit of God will lead us and guide us and direct us. I pray you'll use us now. I yield myself, Lord, to you this morning. Forgive me of my sins, my shortcomings, my faults, my failures. And, Lord, use me now as I stand. And, Lord, I'm going to thank you. I'm going to praise you for what you're going to do. And it's in Christ's name we do pray. And all God's people said, amen. Maybe see you this morning. Thank you for standing out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God. For a few moments today, I want to continue the thought that we've been looking at, as I said, for the last couple of weeks and talking about things that are eternal. Things that are eternal. And again, we used here in the Gospel of John this great text to launch forth that very thought on thinking on things that are eternal. As we begin to look at this thought, we said that so many people are focused upon the things that are temporal, the things that are now, the things that are temporary, but yet they do not yield and think about the things that are eternal. And so God in His precious Word begins to reveal to us several different things that, as far as the thought process goes, of things that are eternal. We said first of all, as we looked in the book of Genesis, we talked about certainly in the creation of man, that man has an eternal soul that will live forever. And so because it comes from an eternal God, how God made man there and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And so certainly we understand that one of the things that are eternal is our soul, eternal soul. And then last week we used this to launch off into a thought on things that are eternal and looked in the Gospel of Luke in chapter number 16, of course, of Lazarus and the rich man, and talked about an eternal separation. And how sad it is this morning that some folks today will be eternally separated from a thrice holy God simply because of the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ and certainly His precious blood that He shed upon Calvary, that all of mankind could be saved. And how sad that is, friend, if you're here today without Christ. Let me encourage you. Let me beg of you this morning to allow the Holy Spirit of God to search your heart. And if things are not right between you and God, that you get them right today. Because tomorrow we do not know anything about. We know who holds tomorrow, but we don't know about tomorrow. And my prayer would be, again, if you're not right with God, you get right today. And so with that thought being continued today, I want to begin certainly again the thought here on things that are eternal and talk about eternal salvation. Eternal salvation. I want to get into the heaven part and all that, but I first want to deal this morning, certainly under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, on this thought of eternal salvation. There's that eternal separation for those that reject God and His wonderful Son. And then there's a certain eternal salvation for those that will trust in Him today. I'm glad I have this morning, through and by the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm glad I have eternal salvation this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. That ought to make us rejoice today for those that are saved this morning, that we have an eternal salvation. I want to share some things with you this morning. I'll try to be as brief as I can. Got three different thoughts that I want to show you this morning from these verses of Scripture. As again, we continue to consider these sayings or those sayings that are eternal. Let us consider the eternal salvation that Christ again has provided for whosoever will. I'm glad it's a whosoever will salvation this morning. And I'm glad that includes me. And that includes you, for anyone that will believe and receive Him as their personal Savior. Let me say this morning before I get into the main part of the message that none of us here today deserves this eternal salvation. There's nothing good that I could have done or that I can do this morning, certainly to have this eternal salvation. I do not deserve it. And you do not deserve it this morning. None of us deserves this eternal salvation. But boy, I'm glad that we have this text before us this morning that lets us know that there is an eternal God, certainly that created us. But not only did He create us, He loved us enough to know before the foundation of the world to create a plan in His darling Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and sending Him to this low land of sin and sorrow to become the sacrifice for my sin and your sin and the sin of the whole world today. And so this morning, thank God, I want you to know that this eternal salvation come with a great price. The price of the blood of the darling Son of God. I'll tell you what, this is not a cheap salvation. I'll tell you what, I don't know why I'm going to say this morning, but the society that we're living in today and the religious world, and I hate to even use that, but even the religious world has cheapened, I'm afraid, too many times the great salvation, the eternal salvation that we have through and by the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to know He paid a high price for me. He paid a high price for you this morning, my friend. You are precious in the sight of the Lord today. I want you to know that. Hallelujah. Thank God we have this great text before us this morning. This is not a cheap salvation. This is not cheap religion. I'm telling you, thank God it is a relationship. A relationship with the Son of God this morning. Thank God I'm glad for the eternal salvation that I have in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. It's not a cheap salvation. It cost God the very best that He had. He gave His own Son. We've cheapened it today by the way that we do things and say things and direct things. But I'll tell you what, it was a high price that was paid for your salvation this morning and for mine. I want you to notice three things today about this eternal salvation. Now, they're very simple and very elementary, but I pray that they'll be a blessing and a help to you this morning. First of all, I thought about in this eternal salvation that you and I have through the Lord Jesus Christ today, that number one, the thing about this this eternal salvation is I want you to know the demonstration of real love. The demonstration of real love. Now, we're living in a world today that's warped when it comes to this thing called love. I'll just be honest with you. It's warped when it comes to this thing called love this morning. I'm glad, thank God, there's a genuine love that's demonstrated before us in this text this morning that, friend, I don't want you to miss. You say, well, preacher, this is not anything new. No, but I'll tell you what, hallelujah, if we could just get a hold of it this morning and appreciate what Christ done for you and I there on the cross of Calvary, hallelujah, this morning, we ought to rejoice and praise Him because that, hallelujah, that one that they was singing about, I've never saw Him, thank God, with the physical eye. But I'm glad, thank God, one Sunday morning, hallelujah, by the eye of faith, I made my way to Calvary and received Christ as my Savior. I'm telling you what, I'm glad He was willing to suffer for me. I'm glad He was willing to take my shame and your shame this morning and nail it to a cross. Oh, this morning, I want you to see in this eternal salvation that come from an eternal God, the demonstration of real love today. Oh, my soul friend, if we could just get a hold today of how much that our Savior has loved you and I this morning. Oh, my soul, it make us want to raise our head and say, thank you, Lord. It make us want to go out and live right and do right and love one another as He's commanded us in His Word this morning. Oh, thank God for this demonstration of genuine, real love this morning. Hallelujah, demonstrated by Christ Himself. We have a warped world when it comes to talking about real love. 1 John 4:10 gives us this herein. Is love not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation. That word propitiation simply means atonement for our sins. That's real love. You say, preacher, God doesn't love me. Friend, that's a lie out of the pit of hell this morning. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. And it's the greatest demonstration of love that's ever been yielded to mankind this morning when He was willing to go to the cross and lay down His life. I want you to know He loves you. He loves me. Red, yellow, black, or white, they're all precious in His sight. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you've been involved in. Hallelujah. You cannot get away from this real love, this genuine love. Thank God for the love of Christ today, my friend. Hallelujah for His love today. I want you to notice in this eternal salvation, again, this is demonstrated before us in the very text and certainly in other places, but we find this morning again that it's not a cheap love. Thank God, I tell you what, it's a genuine, real love that was demonstrated before you and I there at Calvary. I want you to notice some things about this real love. Number one, it's the greatest example of love. The greatest example of love. Now think about this, that God Himself, notice in the text this morning, for God Himself, the one that created you, the one that made you, the one that knows all about you and knows all about me, but yet He loves us. I tell you what, if we could just get a hold of that part, we ought to be shouting and running the aisles. That God would love somebody like me, and God would love somebody like you, to the place that He would show forth the greatest example of all love. There is no greater example of love in the Scriptures, in the world, in society, than the love that Jesus Christ Himself and God the Father has demonstrated when He was willing to come to this world and be the ultimate sacrifice for our sin. There's no greater demonstration. There's no greater example of love this morning. I want you to notice in this real love, again, the greatest example of love. God Himself so loved the world. I begin to think about that, and I thought about the time and hour in which we're living in, the day in which we're living in, and all the things that are taking place and all the things that are going on. I'll tell you, we're living in I truly believe we're living in that time that Paul wrote to Timothy about, these perilous times. But even in all that, there's a God in heaven that loves us. And friend, there's a God in heaven this morning that loves you. I thought about this. I thought about the ones that continually, they hear the gospel message. And God comes knocking on their heart's door. And they say no. And they say no. And they say no. Do you understand this morning, friend, that does not lessen His love for you and for me today? I'm glad, thank God, He is the greatest example of love. We say that we love one another, but yet when some little old thing comes up, or some little thing comes between us, or this comes up, or that comes up, I'll tell you what, our love's pretty cheap sometimes, because I'll tell you what, this morning, we sure don't love like He does. I understand that we're not Him, but I'll tell you what, we're to be an example of Him. And friend, if you want to know about this thing called love, look at the greatest example in all the world this morning. Look at the example of Christ's genuine love and God's genuine love for this world. And that world simply means you and me and everybody that's contained within it this morning. I thought about this greatest example of love. Do you understand today that there's never been an individual born that God didn't love? There's never been an individual that's been born that God does not love. Now, I don't know about you, but I have a hard time getting my mind and my heart around that. Now, we'll love one another as long as somebody's loving us. But when somebody's rejecting us, when somebody's turning their back, hey, I'm telling you what, that's tough stuff. But listen, my friend, that does not lessen the example of God's love and what He done for you at the cross of Calvary. You can reject Him, you can reject Him, you can reject Him and turn Him away to the point that He doesn't even speak to you anymore. But that does not lessen the love that God has for you this morning, my friend. You say, preacher, if God loved me, then why do people perish? Because they reject Him. It's not because God wants to. God has to. God's a just God. God's a holy God this morning. And I'll tell you what, this world do good this world to wake up and realize that. I tell you what, all the things that's going on in the world, hey, instead of the church being half full, it ought to be all the way full. Hey man, instead of people getting out, there ought to be people getting in. Hey man, preacher. That's exactly right. If we really thought that He could soon come, if we really looked at all that was going on, I mean, in Florida and Texas and I mean, all around the world this morning, the earthquakes and the wars and the rumor of wars and all this taking place. I'll tell you what, people ought to be flooding the house of God, getting across the altars and filling them up and saying, oh God, help our nation, help our people, help this world, that they might turn back and see that there's a God in heaven that loves them and can save them and redeem them today. I'll tell you, it's the greatest demonstration, the greatest example of love is right here in this text. For God so loved the world today, my friend. It's been said that somebody tried to define so loved. You can't do it. That goes much deeper than any of us can even begin to scratch the surface on. There's never been an individual born that God didn't love. I think about old Judas. Picked him to be one of the 12. Jesus picked him, but I want you to notice something about Judas. Judas never picked him. Walked with him, talked with him, seen him do the miracles, and was the very one that betrayed him. But you know something? Jesus knew that the whole time, and you know what Jesus done? Jesus just loved him. Oh, I tell you, that goes way far deeper than I can get into this morning. I want you to notice something about this eternal salvation. This real love, notice, it's the greatest example of love. Secondly, it's the greatest extension of love. The greatest extension of love. You say, what do you mean? The word extend simply means to lengthen, to stretch it out, or to enlarge the scope of something. When you think about the whole world, the scope of the whole world, which you and I are a part of this morning, when you begin to think about how God this morning loves this whole world, and all of its sin, all of its rejection. I don't know about you, but that just boggles my heart and mind. But He does. I want you to notice something else about this real love. Is not only is it the greatest example of love, but again, it's the greatest extension of love. The lengthening, the stretching out, or enlarging the scope of something, the whole world. No one is left out. I wrote this down. No one is left out under the umbrella of His love today. And preacher, you don't know what I've done. You don't worry about it. Listen, friend, that doesn't lessen His love for you. I want you to notice today that this eternal salvation is a demonstration of real love. Notice not only is it the greatest example of love and the greatest extension of love, but it's the greatest evidence of love. Notice back in the text, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. As I said, the world we live in today, even the religious world, has lessened or tried to lessen the evidence of this love, cheapen this love. But when you talk about taking your own Son and allowed Him to be the sacrifice for the whole world, to pay a debt, and I'll get into that in just a moment. But think about that. If you've got children this morning, how many of you would give your child for an old sinful humanity? I've got 2 boys. I sure wouldn't give them. Got 2 grandsons. I sure wouldn't give them. I'm glad I don't have to. I'm glad I don't have to. Thank God, aren't you glad of that this morning? Thank God, I'm glad once and for all. Thank God the last sacrifice has been given, and that's in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see within this real love the greatest evidence of love that He gave His only begotten Son. That means that Jesus died for me, and Jesus died for you, and that means He took my place, and He took your place, and He took the place of all humanity there at Calvary, my friend. Eternal salvation. Notice not only do I see in this eternal salvation this morning that certainly it is a demonstration of real love, but then I thought about, secondly, the remedy that had been provided. The remedy that He has provided through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've already begun to look at that for just a moment this morning, but to think about it in a little deeper thought today, and this remedy that's been provided, or in other words, this redemption for all mankind. The word redemption simply means to ransom fully. Y'all with me this morning, or do I just need to go ahead and quit? It don't seem to excite us and move us much. Praise God, it ought to. We see the real love. We see the remedy. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Let me say some things about the remedy provided or the redemption that was paid. Again, to ransom fully. That means when He went to the cross of Calvary, He didn't make a down payment. You know, people today are interested, well, how much is the down payment? Huh? How much is it going to cost me down? Because I reckon people finance everything anymore. Hey, man. How much is the down payment going to be? Well, I'm glad when Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary, I'm glad this morning it wasn't a down payment. I'm glad this morning it wasn't a partial payment. How much it going to cost me a month? After we get the down payment settled, how much is it going to cost me a month to get this car, to get this house, to get this television set, to get this or to get that? I'm telling you this morning, I'm glad, thank God, when He went to the cross of Calvary and He cried out, "It is finished," I'm glad that means that my sin debt was paid in full this morning. Hallelujah. That means, thank God, that it's gone, that it's gone, that it's gone, that it's gone, that I'm not guilty before God anymore because that He paid my sin debt there at Calvary, and I received Him as my Savior, confessed my sins, believed and called on Him, and He saved me and redeemed me. And thank God, in the eyes of God, He doesn't see me this morning, but He sees Him. Hallelujah, this morning. Thank God for the remedy of this eternal salvation. Amen. We talked about the eternal separation and those that reject God. Now, this sounds like a whole lot better deal to me. I don't know about you, but it sounds like a whole lot better deal. Amen. Sounds like a lot better deal to me. Let me give you three things about this remedy provided or this redemption. First thing that I thought about, number one, is all of mankind has a debt. Preacher, I hadn't went in debt for anything. Friend, I want to tell you what, you're a sinner today by nature and by choice. And in the eyes of God, there's a debt that has to be settled. We can go all the way back to the book of Genesis, and we've done it many times, and we look there in the garden how God made man, breathed his nostrils the breath of life, and he became that eternal soul, that living soul. And then we see, of course, that he gave him the rule, and man broke that rule, and God told him the day that he eat thereof that he would surely die. That brought separation. But I'm glad it didn't bring eternal separation. Because just like God had to kill some animals and make some coverings or coats for coverings there in the garden, I'm glad it was just pointing to this time that Jesus would come and give His life a ransom for all of mankind. The remedy provided, the redemption that we have through and by the Lord Jesus Christ, because all of mankind has a debt, a sin debt. Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Again, friend, the salvation this morning that we have through Christ is not a cheap salvation. What are you saying, preacher? God required a blood sacrifice. All those Old Testament sacrifices was just pointing to the sacrifice of His Son. I want you to notice some things. Not only do we see in the remedy of all of mankind has a debt, all of mankind has a decision. You say, what do you mean, preacher? All of mankind has a decision. You have a decision this morning concerning the sin debt that each of us have today. We can, this morning, accept the sin debt and perish. Read this chapter. Without Christ today, you're already under condemnation. All you have to do this morning is to experience that eternal separation from a thrice holy God and be in that place of awful torment and perish. The only thing you have to do this morning is just keep going like you're going. You don't have to do a thing. But I want you to know something this morning. The decision is yours, and the consequences or the blessings of that decision is entirely how you make that decision. All of mankind's got a debt. All of mankind this morning has a decision. What are you going to do about this sin debt? What are you going to do about this sin problem? Preacher, I don't have no sin problem. Yeah, you do. I've got it. You've got it. Your children's got it. My children's got it. We've all got a problem with sin this morning. Some may run a little deeper, but we all have that problem. So we all have a sin debt. All of mankind has a debt. All of mankind has a decision concerning the sin debt. We can accept the sin debt and perish, or we can receive the sacrifice and obtain eternal salvation. That's what Jesus is letting us know here in verse number 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah this morning. You have a decision. You have a debt. You have a decision. What decision are you going to make? I understand that salvation is more than just making a decision. I understand all that. But friend, you must decide whether or not you're going to trust Christ or reject Him today. It's entirely up to you. I want you to notice today in the remedy, all of mankind has a debt. All of mankind has a decision. But I want you to notice, thirdly, today, God's desire for all of mankind. As I've said many times, it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What's God's desire for all of mankind, preachers? To believe and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, plural. Somebody get that out of a while. Forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. I love Hebrews 9:12. Neither by the blood of goats, or speaking of our great high priest, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood. By His own blood He entered in once. For some folks that think today that you can lose it and get away from it and all that, hallelujah, thank God, I'm glad the salvation that I have through Christ today is eternal. If I could lose it, I'd lost it a long time ago. Not that I'd want to. Have you ever talked to anybody that wanted to lose it? Lord, help us. That didn't give us a license to sin and a license to go out and live like we want to. I'm telling you this morning, thank God, if you're truly saved and redeemed by the good grace of God and got the Spirit of God living in you this morning, you'll want to live right and do right. I'm telling you, even though we do mess up, I'll tell you what, He'll get our attention this morning. Why? Because He loves us. Do you let your children run around like a bunch of banshee Indians? I know I might not have said that. Just go to Walmart sometime. You'll see some of them. Hey, man. We've come to a day we don't think discipline still works. Praise God, if God disciplines you and I, and if we're His, He will. And praise God, we have a responsibility to discipline our children. Why? Because we love them. I'm not talking about abuse. Aren't you glad God doesn't abuse us? When He's got every right to. I'm glad He doesn't. I don't know why I said all that, but anyhow. God's desire for all of mankind. Hebrews 9:12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood. He entered once into the high place, having obtained, watch this. Watch this word now. Having obtained eternal redemption for us. He didn't say for me. He said for us. Eternal redemption. That means a price has been paid. Thank God, aren't you glad this morning? Thank God again, there's not been a down payment. It's not been a partial payment. It's not all monthly payments. But thank God, once and for all, I'm glad my sin debt has been paid. Hallelujah. That means my sin's past. That means my sin's present. That means my sin's future. Thank God, hallelujah, has been paid for by the blood of Calvary this morning. Things that are eternal. There's that eternal soul. There's that eternal separation. And there's that eternal salvation. I don't know about you, but I believe I'll take the eternal salvation. We see the demonstration of real love. We see the remedy provided, the redemption for all of mankind. And then thirdly this morning, I want you to notice in closing, we see the rewards of eternal salvation. The rewards. Now, I could stand here till 5 o'clock this evening and could not begin to reveal all the rewards of eternal salvation. But let me give you three that's in our text here before us today, and then we may talk about some more of them. I want to preach on heaven. I know people don't move people much anymore, but I want to preach on heaven. Hey, man, I don't like preaching on hell like I told you last week. I don't like that. I got to do that. Hey, man, I got to do that, but I'm excited about preaching about heaven. Does that excite you any? Boy, if heaven doesn't excite you any and hell doesn't scare you any, then friend, I'll tell you what, there's something bad wrong. Heaven ought to excite us. Heaven ought to put a smile on our face because it's a place that's eternal. But I'm going to give you three rewards right here from our text this morning, and I'm done. The rewards of eternal salvation. Number one, the promise. The promise. You say, preacher, what are you talking about the promise? Well, I like the latter part of verse 16 there. That whosoever believeth. Now just go ahead and put your name right there, that whosoever. If you're saved, you're that whosoever. Put your name right there. Matter of fact, you might just write under it there. You might just want to put your name down. That way when you're getting down and you're getting discouraged and old devil's trying to beat you up and kick you around, you can just get your Bible out and turn back to John 3:16, see your name there. Hey, man, hallelujah. I'm glad, thank God, you can record it there, but I'm glad it's already been recorded in heaven. Thank God for those that are redeemed, saved by the good grace of God this morning. I'm glad my name's been recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. I want you to notice three things about the reward of eternal salvation. Number one, the promise. Hallelujah. That whosoever, praise God, I could just preach the rest of the time on that, believeth in Him. Here's the promise. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. Does that put a smile on your face this morning? Praise God, that ought to wake the dead there. The promise this morning that I'm not going to perish. I'm not going to, yes, this old body, I'll lay it down somewhere someday, but I'm glad, thank God, the soul that lives within me will live forever, my friend. There's a promise of ever that I will not perish. You will not perish. Those that will trust Christ. I don't know about you, but that sounds like a pretty good reward. Shall not perish. Notice the promise. Secondly, notice the position. The promise is, well, should not perish, the position is this. I want you to notice these next two words. God butts in here with a but. What we call a heavenly conjunction. I like that. I like when God butts in. Now, he's already given me a promise, I'm not going to perish, but he said, I'm going to even do better than that. That's the best deal going, friend. Not only did he give me a promise, but then he secondly told me about a position. But have. Now again, I I'm not an English major by no means. But that word have simply means this. You got it right now. That is present tense. Is that not right? Have, that means you got it now. Somebody's not hearing me. I'm getting a touch up here, but y'all ain't getting it back there. I have a key. Preacher, what's that got to do with it? I got it. Look, Richard, I got a key. I got it right now. I got it in my pocket right now. I got a whole set of keys. I've got them right now. They're not yours, they're mine. I've got it. I have them. They're mine. Hey, man, hallelujah. Thank God this morning. Thank God I'm telling you what's the truth. Hallelujah. I've got a billfold. Ain't got much in it, but I got it. I've got it. I have it. I've got it right now. Here it is. I've got it right now. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm telling you this morning, friend, thank God the reward. Hallelujah. This eternal salvation. Thank God I don't have to wait to enjoy it. I don't have to wait to rejoice. I don't have to wait to smile and sing. Have hope in my heart. I'm glad I've got it right now, my friend. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this eternal salvation that you have provided for me this morning. The rewards of eternal salvation. The promise, the position that you have. But have. You might ought to underline them words too. Hallelujah. But not only do I have it right now, not only do I see the promise, not only do I see the position, but thirdly, I see it's perpetual. I lost some of you right there. Some of you don't know what perpetual means, do you? Let me fill you in on it. That means it don't never quit. That means it don't ever go away. You have it right now, present tense. Hallelujah, thank God. That everlasting life, that perpetual thought, means you've got it not only today, but you've got it tomorrow. You've got it next week. Hallelujah, somebody hold my mute while I shout a while. That means I'll have it next month, next year, 5 years from now, 5,000 years from now. I'm just as saved now, thank God, as I'll be, thank God, 5,000 years from now. I have eternal life through and by the Lord Jesus Christ. What a reward this morning. That's a little bit different talking about a place of punishment. And what we talked about last week, what was those things last week? Let's see if I could hunt that back up here. This morning. And think about things that are eternal. We talked about last week in the message. I believe I've got it right here. Yeah, right here we go. We said that it was a permanent place. We said it was a painful place. We said it was a praying place. We said it was not a partying place. But then we left you with this. That there's power to redeem from this place. That's what I've been trying to tell you this morning. It's a promise. You don't have to perish. What a promise. What a promise. What a promise. There's a promise you don't have to perish. There's a position that you can be and have right now in everlasting life. And lastly, it's perpetual. That means it never ends. It never ends. It never ends. It never ends. Could I say again, it never ends? Amen. It never ends. Yeah. It never ends. We have to say so long here for just a little while. And there's not anybody in this building that's not been affected by this thing called death. Somebody said that death was sneaking up on us. No, death's not sneaking up on us. We're running headlong into it. But death don't seem so bad. Listen, it's hard. Time have to say so long for a little while. I'm glad the Bible says there's joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. Why, preacher? Because of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but hath everlasting life. They talk about when you go to these cemeteries, we do perpetual care. They don't. Praise God, they're going to be one day part of them graves come busting open. What's they going to do then? Huh? Matter of fact, they'll all eventually come busting open. If you read your Bible. It ain't forever. It's as long as they're there. But it ain't forever. Perpetual means forever. Don't ever let them get you to sign a contract on anything that says it's perpetual. Because I'm telling you what's true, it ain't perpetual. It ain't worth the paper it's wrote on. Boy, I'll get in trouble now, won't I? Amen. It's going to come to an end. Everything here is just temporary. Amen. Everything here is just temporary. Even that grave's out there, just temporary. But I'm glad I've got something that's perpetual. Yeah. Do you have that today? Do you know Christ is your Savior? Things that are eternal. Got an eternal soul. And then there's that eternal separation. You sure don't want to go there. But then there's this eternal salvation. I believe I'd highly consider this. I believe I'd sign on the dotted line on this one. Because what Jesus promised, what Jesus has provided, Jesus will do. I wonder how do you stand with Him this morning? Jesus was to call your number. God was to call your number tonight. I wonder, would you be ready to meet Him? Jesus was to come in the eastern sky in the morning at 7 a.m. Would you be ready to meet Him? If not, you better get ready. Because He's coming. And you and I are running headlong into this thing called death. But I'm glad it's not the end. In all honesty, this morning is just the beginning for a child of God. Let's stand to our feet, Brother Scotty. Father, we love You this morning. We thank You and we praise You for Your goodness and Your grace. Thank You for the gift of salvation this morning that You have so graciously provided. Thank You for this great text that lies before us today. And Lord, I could never even begin to do this great text, the justice, Lord, that it rightly deserves. But Lord, I do thank You for John 3:16. I'm glad You tell us also in these verses of Scripture that, Lord, we're no longer under condemnation. We've trusted in You. Now, Lord, I don't know anybody's heart here today, but Father, I just pray that, Father, if there be anybody here today lost and undone without You, but Lord, this day that You would convict them and draw them. And Lord, this very day, this very hour, Lord, they would step out by faith, come and receive You. Lord, if there's a Christian that's cold and indifferent, Lord, maybe they're not enjoying the salvation which You have so graciously provided. Maybe they've forgotten, Lord, what You've done for them, where You brought them from, and Lord, where You're going to take them to. Lord, maybe they've strayed from You, Lord, in their walk. Lord, I don't have any idea. But I am glad today there are some things that are eternal, some good things, some great things. And I pray today, if there's folks here today not ready to meet you, that today they'd make things right. Come and receive you. Say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, I'm glad that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I pray you'll speak during this invitation. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you. Help us to be obedient. In Christ's name, amen.